Ooh.
Oh.
Now recording.
Welcome to the Crap Beer Cast. I'm Josh. That's Jeff.
Hey, what's happening? We got Wells too. What's up, Wells?
Yeah. Wells too. I'm Wells one. There's another one of me.
You're all of the Wells.
That sucks. Oh, that's good. Hey, I am all the Wells.
Right. I mean, you walked right into that. How did I not? How did you not see that one coming?
Yeah, you didn't know, Wells, that you have a summer child?
Oh, you didn't know?
You better tell somebody.
All right, fine.
Besides the weather that has kept us all locked in, Eugene's been up to anything since we last recorded?
I spent some time in Texas again. And look it.
In Tejas?
Yeah. Here's the thing. I understand, you know, so you're in Texas, you're expecting Tex-Mex, you're not necessarily going there for beer, which is just a real shame because, like, for most places, the beer options are, you know, your macro lagers, you know, Bud Light, Miller Light, what have you. There's usually 4 to 5 Mexican lagers, you know, Dos Equis, Modelo, et cetera. And then maybe, you know, there's like Blue Moon, which, and I'm not going to get that either. Shinerbach's always a safe bet, but after like your fourth Shinerbach over the course of 2 days, like you're ready to move on to something else. It's a bummer because like Carbach is the one that everybody holds up, but they're AB InBev. And so your only other like option sometimes is St. Arnold. And, you know, I've had a couple of their beers and they're Midland, I guess, from what I had. And maybe it's because they weren't super fresh. Because they're just, you know, the beer scene is just, at least in Houston and in Dallas, for what I've seen. And I'm, you know, again, I'm not hunting for beer necessarily while I'm there, but it just wasn't great. And so as I'm getting ready to fly out of Houston, you know, I'm wandering around heading towards my gate. I've got a couple hours to kill and I spy, you know, an airport bar that has probably 30 taps. And I walk in and I sit down. I'm talking to the bartender and he's like, well, what are you interested in? What do you like? I'm like, what is your freshest non-hazy IPA? And he's like, well, this Two Hearted just came in yesterday. And I said, there we go. Let's do that. And
well, so hey,
finally, you know, had some good fresh beer. It was great. But yeah, that was my adventures for the last couple of weeks.
Well, and just really quickly, I will say kind of shocking just because, you know, Houston is not a small city.
Correct.
So kind of surprising that you don't have a whole lot of options there. Because I was curious, I started looking it up. Like, there's Buffalo Bayou is apparently one that people are suggesting. Eighth Wonder.
Okay.
No Label.
I believe you.
And Southern Star. Outside of Carbach and... the other one you said.
I believe you. I completely understand, you know, and it's like saying, well, you know, there's Jester King and I'm like, yeah, no, I get it. But unfortunately, and this is some of the, like, sometimes, you know, those that travel for work understand, especially if you're traveling with others, you don't always have the latitude to just go find good beer. And so you're kind of stuck with the restaurant that the group wants to go to.
See, that's where I am the worst to travel with because I will make people go to the places I want to go or I'm not going. I will just go on my own.
I mean, you're the worst to be around, period.
Yeah, I guess. But I mean, like, legitimately, like when I was in the DR, everybody wanted to go out for dinner. And I'm like, we ain't going out for dinner. We're going to this place. We're going to this beer place. Like it or lump it.
All right. No highway option. Got it.
Yep. Mm. My way. I mean, I'm the visitor, right? So you're accommodating to me.
Yep.
Wells, what about you? You getting anything?
Oh man, I had a buddy of mine come up from Charlotte last weekend, and it was kind of like a last minute thing. I had already gone out on Thursday night and then found out Friday evening. It's like, okay, cool, you're coming up like tomorrow afternoon. Well, I already had plans to go out Friday evening. So then we went out on Saturday and Sunday, and like by the time Monday rolled around and I had had like 4 quadruple barrel aged 20% stouts all weekend, and I'm just like, I can't drink like this anymore. It's not the hangover, it's the anxiety that absolutely kills me. So I kind of took it easy this week and for the week following, and just in time for the weekend to roll back around, like, all right, I'm starting to feel like a human being again. And then I just did not leave the house at all. Like, we noticed how drafty some of our windows were. Okay, cool. We just put up painter's tape like around the cracks. And but same thing for the front door. And we just have not opened the front door since Saturday. It's been kind of nice.
Nice. It's also been kind of gross outside.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Just to put a timestamp on this, depending on when people listen to this, most of the South got hit with some ice and or snow or sleet. Wells being in Virginia, Jeff and I being in North Carolina, we all got hit. Most of my stuff is pretty much melted off for the most part here, but
I've got about 3 inches still on the ground outside plus of snow, plus a sheet of ice on top of everything else.
Yeah, just say like the front yard is almost completely clean backyard. Excuse me, didn't get as much sun, so it still got some snow. When you went out with your Charlotte buddy that wasn't Jeff or I, did you go anywhere new, or did you just hit all the normal spots that you go to?
Well, this the meadery that I took you to, Black Heath, was opening up. Like, they were having a festival of wood and fire, which was really cool. It was a whole bunch of barrel-aged offerings. They had 4 local beers being poured, one of them being something that I was very keen to have again. From the Vale, it was their Extreme Slumber, which is 17% Imperial Stout, aged in Buffalo Trace, bourbon, and French cognac, and apple brandy, and maple syrup barrels for 18 months. And then it was more barrel-aged, and then it was more barrel-aged, and yeah.
Woo!
Yeah, so that was really good. I had that one when I first moved to Richmond, so it was really cool to have it again. And then they were opening up a new brewery in the back. I remember taking you to Black Heath Meadery and us having Brainstorm Brewhouse. Like, they made a couple. Well, Brainstorm has found a new home and like their own production space. And this new brewery called Set Brick opened up, and they had a Pilsner, a Helles, and an American Lager on tap. Those were the 3 beers that they launched with. All clean, crispy boys with nowhere to hide. Damn, they were some good beers. Nice. So, I know. It's I can't even think of the last time that I went to like a new brewery, and they're like, oh yeah, we only have 3 lagers right now. Enjoy. Like, just the balls. So
yeah, we made 3 beers. They're the easiest ones to screw up.
Yep.
The easiest ones to detect flaws in. I mean, you could argue they're the least, I don't want to say that, not the least popular, but if you're looking to open a new brewery, like, that's not what the majority of the spending people are coming to spend, right? Like, they want their hazy IPAs, they want their West Coast, they want their barrel-aged stuff.
Yeah.
That's great. Love that. Yeah. Just the balls to do that. It's fantastic.
I know, man. I was really happy with how that one turned out. Otherwise, it's just been a whole ton of work. You know, we had a short week this week with MLK, and then today's work got canceled. So, or pushed on to last Friday. So we had 6 days worth of canning runs to do in 4. Tons of fun. I know.
Mine wasn't going anywhere, but just something I wanted to talk about really quick before we get into the news. So last in-person show that we had, I got a wildly out of date 4-pack of some version of variant of a pseudo Sue. I don't remember which one it was off the top of my head.
Dino Sue, Dino Bites, Dino.
Something like that.
Cyber Dino. Everything's computer.
Yeah, who knows? Whatever it was. It was like wildly out of date. And when I say wildly, it was from like August, I think, if I remember right. And I bought it in January. Yep. So yeah, that's no
Dino break.
There we go. Dino break. So I, of course, made, you know, the purveyor of the store. I brought it to their attention and, you know, sent a picture, was like, hey, yo, this is whack.
Yep.
So go in that following. So we recorded that Monday. I sent him, I kind of forgot about it. So I didn't even end up sending him the text until Saturday morning. And as I went in there, he was actually pulling the last two off and did a make good and gave me a couple of beers as a thank you for pointing that out. So
nice. And, you know, that's all you really want from, you know, a good purveyor. Like, it's knowing Roger, he was probably mortified, you know, because
he was
the
not
last
happy.
The last thing he wants is for people to have a bad experience. But, you know, for the people that he knows that are, you know, kind of deep into beer like we are, you know, it's not like we're not carrying some kind of extra stroke or anything. It's just, but I think he just appreciates it. You know, what you and I and Wells bring to the table. So I'm sure he was just absolutely mortified. And, but again, that's what I want out of a shop. I want somebody that's going to stand behind their product. I guarantee it wasn't his fault. He didn't, you know, see this on the list and say, oh, you know, that's a beer from August. I wonder when it was actually canned. Like, you know, he probably just looked and said, oh yeah, that, you know, Toppling Goliath and Dinos sell well, let's take some of that. And then it showed up and he, you know, he trusts his distributor, and, you know, sometimes it just doesn't quite play out, unfortunately.
Well, and you know, unbeknownst to me, but a little kind of a peek behind the sausage is that there is a buyer basically for Common Markets, and then they just distribute from that point.
Well, there you go.
And so, yeah, it kind of to that point, like, he didn't know. He just saw, hey, it's, you know, Toppling Goliath beer. Those sell. Give me some. So,
yeah.
So, yeah. And, you know, I wasn't like expecting him to roll out the red carpet or anything. And he just.
No, just, you know, give me some form of a refund. You know, we had one of these on the show. It sucked. And it's because it's old. You know, give me a partial refund or something like that. He'd probably give you a full refund because he might as well. And, you know, and that's all I would want. Just give me a refund. Let me buy something different. Because it's not like I'm going to, you know, badmouth them or anything. In fact, I'm probably going to speak better about that establishment because Common Market's willing to stand behind their product.
Yep, exactly. And, you know, I know that it may not be everybody's favorite bottle store. It's the most convenient for me. I can run there in a minute. But seriously, it's like, it is walkable. You just forget how long the walk
is. That's right.
But
that's right. Walkable. Yeah. 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 And since you walk 12 miles an hour, it's fine.
Yeah. I mean, it really is walkable. It's just you get about halfway and you're already halfway there and you're like, fuck, I kind of regret this decision now, but I'm already halfway there. So let's just complete the journey. So yeah, anyways, good on him. I was pleased with the result. Ended up getting a beer that I had not seen in forever. It was a Allagash Jim Beam.
Oh yeah.
Oh, the James, copy beer. James Bean.
Bean. Yeah. James Bean.
James Bean.
Whatever. I want to call it what I want to call it. Jim James. It's all still Bean. It's a
Jimmy coffee. Jim.
And it's a coffee ale, not a stout. So, you know, something just a little different and unique. And it's been forever since I've seen one of those. And
Let me get this right. It's a Belgian triple aged in bourbon barrels with coffee added, right?
Yes. So not a
boom. Stout.
Correct.
There we go. It was real good. I enjoyed it.
Awesome.
All right. On to the news. Wells, what's going on with Rogue?
Basically, depending on the state that you live in, you're supposed to tell the state, whatever, let them know if you are going to be shutting down, doing mass layoffs. You're supposed to, you have a legally mandated 60 days advance notice. And this former Rogue employee said, like, you know what? They didn't do that for us. So we're suing. And good on them. I'm sick and tired of companies just being like, oh, we're going to have to close. And it's like, well, there's a right way and a wrong way of doing things, right? Like, you got to do things the right way. You've got to notify the state. It's part of the WARN Act, Worker Adjustment and Retraining Notification Act. And they're saying, like, this, you know, Rogue's closure violated it. And, I mean, didn't it? Because, I mean, I'm not privy to any information, and I'm just looking at what I saw in the news, that this came out of nowhere and everything was shut down within 2 days of them, like, closing temporarily. So, good luck with this lawsuit, Rogue.
I mean, it, yeah. It definitely did seem like it came out of nowhere.
Yep.
Yeah. Agreed. And, you know, I don't know. The WARN Act is great, but any company of any size has many ways around it. So, not that I know from personal experience, but I do.
Yeah, unfortunately, Jeff is right. They have ways around it. Does Rogue have ways around it is the bigger question.
Yeah, I mean, I think with it, so it's a little bit different, I would suspect, because with Rogue, they just shut the doors, right? So you're talking about, you know, majority of the employees, whereas in my former company, I'm sure if there's a threshold of, you know, 10.17%, they would lay off 10.16 just to make sure that they didn't have to report. But
yep. Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, good luck. Also, I mean, I know I'm not trying to sound like mean, but like good luck with the lawsuit in general, because like, what are you going to get out of them? That's, I guess, my bigger question. Like, to what end is this going to do anything?
Free Rogue beer for life. Wait, hold on.
I mean, what's it going to do for them? Subject to a civil penalty less than or equal to $500 for each day the law is violated. So, I mean, hopefully money. I know it's Chapter 7, but sometimes it's just the principle of the dang thing, you know?
I agree with that. I do. No argument there, but like, I guess I hope that this person isn't doing this in hopes that they're going to get a fat paycheck.
I mean, I'm sure anytime you've got a class, that's what, you know, that's the way it works out, right? Like they're filing to be in a class so that, you know, they can get paid, but really the lawyers are going to get paid and everybody else may see a little bit. It's, you know, they'll get their, you know, $27.83 in PayPal in like 2 years.
Right. Kind of like, I don't know if you, either of you saw, well, I know Jeff, you didn't, cause I still need to set my pie hole, but Wells, like, scrolling through Reddit, all of a sudden one of the new Reddit ads is, have you eaten beef since blah, blah, blah in 2014? You can sue. And I'm like, uh-huh, sure. And I can get a whole whopping $2.05.
Yeah. But with that $2.05, you can get a third of a pound of something.
Right. I can make a hamburger, maybe a meatball if I'm lucky.
I mean, it's kind of like a pyramid scheme, right? Like the idea is to be one of the first couple of people to actually file the lawsuit so that you can be called to class. You get paid first, then everybody else gets whatever's left. That's the move. It's just not the move that I ever am smart enough about. So whatever.
Speaking of the move, maybe this is a good move, but I don't know. What's going on at Legion, Wells?
Okay, speaking of brewery lawsuits, a former safety manager for Legion Brewing in Charlotte is alleging in a lawsuit that they've violated OSHA regulations and have no interest in protecting the safety of their employees at all. And boy, does this have some just disturbing details in it.
Yes, it does. This was a wild story to read.
Yeah. So basically he's saying like he was hired to become like safety and maintenance manager and started noticing things that are a little irregular, like improperly stored chemicals causing shortness of breath. A little while later, people operating forklifts and scissor lifts without training. What else? Unsecured. Oh, this part really disturbed me. unsecured metal rods on a brewery ceiling, and that fell from a height of 19 feet on a semi-regular basis. So it's just like, what in the world?
I remember that that level from Zelda 2, right?
Yeah, so basically he's seen a whole bunch of OSHA violations, had, you know, raised issues with the company. The company did nothing when he said, you know what, I'm going to, you know, file an OSHA violation. He was saying that he got fired for it, which is very illegal. So, yeah, allegedly this guy was informed by management that this decision to let him go had nothing to do with his performance, attitude, or work, but the company was restructuring and no longer needed a maintenance or safety manager. Bro. and I mean bro, aimed right at Legion. Are you saying that an operation of your size, you don't need a maintenance or safety manager? Because the Vale's a lot smaller than you are. We need one of those. Every brewery needs somebody that has been trained to look out for their fellow employees. Like, knows, it's just, this is infuriating. They are big enough, large enough, wealthy enough that you can do the right thing. Because, you know, we've had a death. Like, we had Dan Wade die, you know, at a brewery a couple years ago. And other brewery owners are out here just like, well, couldn't happen to me. Like,
right.
Really?
Right.
And they have, what, 4 different spots? I know they're not all production, but.
One.
It's 4 or 5, yeah, right?
I think 4.
Yeah,
South Park, Plaza, Weston, and
The reason I was saying that is because, you know, not everybody may not know how big Legion actually is in Charlotte. Legion's pretty fucking big. It's not like they couldn't afford this, and to Wells's point, it's not like they don't need this. They need this. Yep. The other thing that I thought was kind of fascinating was the fact that they just started icing this dude out of meetings because he was complaining. And say, hey, this stuff is wrong. And they're like, yeah, you don't need to come to these meetings anymore. What?
Yeah.
This was a bad move on their part. This was not smart.
It just feels like hubris. I mean, you know, there's that whole mentality that I think, especially in America, we run into of, yeah. Like, no, I understand that's super important, but it would never happen to me. I'm not actually going to need it. I don't need to wear my seatbelt. I'm not the one that's going to get into an accident. That's somebody else. It's not going to happen to me. The odds are so low. You know, I'll never blah, blah, blah. Like it, but OSHA isn't there for the small chance, the odds that you won't do it. It's there for the time that it does, right?
Yep.
Ounce of prevention, folks. Like, come on now.
Well, and that's the other thing that, like, I don't think that Legion really understood was OSHA wasn't going to come in and shut them down or smack them around. They were actually going to come in to be helpful to point things out.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. OSHA is not like this big, bad, whatever. If you need help getting things up to code, they are there to help you with that. Like, they're an education service, too. And
yeah.
Yep. I guess the powers that be just didn't want to hear it. Like, oh, OSHA's going to come through and they're going to make us fix things. And that's expensive. So suddenly you are potentially a squeaky wheel and we could either grease it or we could just fire you. And there looks like they're going with fire. So
they chose violence.
Yes, they did. They did. You're right. They chose violence. So good luck. I have a feeling this will end up settling out of court, but.
And that's a shame. I really would like to see the final what happened.
Agreed.
So.
So kind of speaking of. There's no real good, easy segue for this, but what was supposed to be Sycamore? They lost everything. They've rebranded, as we have talked about. Well, we now found out who's taking over their airport spot, and now everything makes sense. Sugar Creek is taking over the airport spot that Sycamore was supposed to be in, and now it makes sense of why they're leaving.
Was in.
Yeah,
yeah. Like Sycamore was there. I have seen their.
Yeah, that's true.
Their space. I know where that. It's one of those like. Again, I'll throw out another Zelda comment here. It's in one of the dungeon sections of the CLT airport in the, you know, on the east side where you're walking and you're walking, or maybe it was D, like, I don't know. And then suddenly I'm like, oh, look, there's the Sycamore thing. I couldn't find it again if I needed to. I mean, without looking at a map, obviously. And obviously you can't now because it's gone. But yep. Interesting that Sugar Creek's going to step in and take the spot. I mean, I'm not surprised. I figured there'd be a couple of people wanting to move in. And really, I mean, a lot of the big shots, I mean, Triple C, Noda, Old Mech, I'm sure Legion's got a spot in the airport. Doesn't surprise me that Sugar Creek's going in.
Yeah, because everybody else above them is already in there.
Yeah. And again, to the point of, we all thought it was kind of weird that they were pulling out of South End. And now it makes sense. Like, they're still going to have some sort of presence here in Charlotte, even though it's the airport. And yeah, they're still in, you know, grocery stores and tap rooms and everywhere else. But, you know, I don't know that a lot of people realize there is a lot of traffic through that airport. It's a connection hub for most of the East Coast. So, hey, good on them.
Yeah, no kidding.
Last but not least, Jeff, sir. I'm going to let you tell this next story because it's very important for you.
Look, it's plain and simple. Google Coach Kurt Cignetti. He wins.
He does.
You know, after having been on campus 30 some odd years ago, having watched my Indiana Hoosiers football team win more games this season than they won the entire 4 years I was there. They ran the table and finished their undefeated season with a national championship. And in the press conference, you know, like a couple games back, maybe it was one game back, it's two games back, you know, you always have the reporters that's like, oh, coach, how do you feel after this win? You know, and it's always like the stupidest, like, they can't come up with a good question. You know, what are you going to do to, you know, score more points in the second half? You know, like stuff like that, right? But one of the post-game interviews, he's like, yeah, I think I'm going to go have a beer, you know, and everybody kind of latched onto that for some reason, like football coaches somehow don't drink beer. Like, why was this news? But you know, it is what it is. None of them ever say it, but sure enough. And so he was doing his press conference after winning the national championship. And he actually called out Upland Brewing's Hoosier Game Day Lager. So I want to say we've had this on the show. It's got, Josh, you may remember, it had the red and white striped can, you know, so they've got it set up like the, like if you ever watched the Indiana basketball team, they've got the red and white candy striped pants.
Yep.
The lager has the same kind of vibe. The beer is acceptably fine. But Upland is really one of the major breweries in Bloomington. And coach actually called out, you know, that he was going to have, you know, have some of this, you know, game day lager. And so the fine folks at Upland have said that they're now going to be supplying him with, you know, I guess they had been giving him post game beers throughout the season.
Hell yeah.
But now that he's won, and especially calling them out, you know, in a positive way, calling them out in a post game interview like that for everyone to see, Upland's decided that he's getting Hoosier lagers for life, which I just think is super fun. What a great like lightning in a bottle moment for both sides to be able to grab a hold of. So,
oh yeah, 100%,
super cool.
Yeah, I just thought that was really neat that they were like, hey, yeah, you know what? You did good. So here, have beer for the rest of your life.
Right.
Even if you guys never win another game.
Yes.
I just thought that was really cool.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's just, it was, again, just a super, I can't imagine he was actually playing for free beer. But I mean, it's just like a nice organic moment. you know, it says lot that he's trying to support the local, you know, he's not just like, you know, I'm going to go have a Miller Lite or something like that. He's like, you know, I'm going to, you know, like it just says to me that he's really bought in with the local scene. And I just, I love that. It just makes me love that guy even more.
Yeah, absolutely. And yes, dear listener, I know it's been, by the time this episode comes out, it's been a couple of weeks since the national championship. But
in fairness, it's January and there's like 85 days in January.
Yes, that is true.
So, you know, it is what it is.
That is very true. All right. That's it for news. So because we're doing remote, we really aren't going to have a buy, no buy. We're just going to talk about what we're drinking. Suggest.
It's not it for news. It's not for news. I got a little bit of news about what the Vale is doing this week.
Oh, I didn't know if you wanted to do that on this episode or next episode.
Well, because if it's next episode, it'll be over.
Okay, go for it.
Which is why I said, like, hey, let's get this done show one. Because
you
it's
did not
happening.
Say show one. You just said talk about on.
I go back and check my text. But anyway, we're releasing Circle of Wolves. It is Circle of Wolves week. That is an English-style barley wine that the Vale does each year. And we've got regular Circle of Wolves coming out in cans. It's nice. Like, as far as barley wines go, it's a really good base beer, 10%, not really blown my mind, but I had one yesterday. I really liked it. It's the barrel aging where we get you. So we've got very old Circle of Wolves, which was aged 38 months in Willett bourbon barrels. That one's real good. We've got a rum barrel aged Circle of Wolves, which I was surprised. Rum barrel aging can be kind of hit or miss for me, but I rather enjoyed that one. And then there is the double barrel Circle of Wolves, which, let's see, blend of Four Roses and Willett bourbon barrels for 33 months, then finished in apple brandy barrels. That one is excellent. And then there is a double vanilla, double barrel Circle of Wolves that I opened last weekend. And that is absolutely transcendent. So I'm going to try to get some of these bottles out of my hands and into y'all's. Unfortunately, the kind of bottles that I end up with are low fills and don't really do, and like don't have labels or wax or anything really put on them. These are gorgeous. Gotcha. Like, I'm literally looking at the labels just for the very old Circle of Wolves. And it's just, I wish there was more of this. I'm nice. Just a little sad that I don't have as much as I want. So, I don't know. So if y'all are in the Richmond area, you know, anybody listening like that really loves barley wine and wants to, you know, try some really dope stuff, swing through the Vale. If you can hear this, it's happening. So pull through. That's all I got.
Tell them well, Cincha.
Tell them well. I will don't.
Now, to be fair, there was a typo in your text and you said, and I quote, obviously a show on topic. I should have put two and two together. I didn't. I was just reading it really quickly.
So, okay.
Fair enough. Ah.
All right. So anyways, now, Jeff, what are you drinking?
Got me a can of Divine Barrels Canadian Lager. It's a nice, easy drink. Okay.
What makes a Canadian lager?
You had to ask. I want to say it's like Canadian malts or something like that. I don't know if it's like an actual like fine Canadian lager. I don't know if it's like actually like a mimic of like a Labatt's or something like that, but Canadian lager. Canadian has Canadian barley for a smooth, refreshing taste.
Okay.
I feel like it's got a little different hopping than you would have out of a regular lager, but that could just be my brain playing tricks on me. But it's a Divine Barrel. It is a lager. It is excellent.
Cool. Wells, what are you drinking from the Vale?
Shocker. Divine Barrel makes a really good, cleaned beer. I am stunned. Sorry.
Stunned, I tell you.
Hey,
stunned.
Hey, speaking of clean beer, I'm going to keep the clean beer train going. I have a Kolsch in my hand called No More Flowers. It's by the Veil. And you know what? I really like it. I don't really reach for Kolsch, but I took home about six of these, and this is my last one. So good job, us. I really enjoy this one. So big bye for No More Flowers. Josh, what are you drinking on?
So to keep the clean beer train running, I'm having just the plain old open fermented bitter from.
About time you got into those. I was going to give you shit about that the last time I was there. I'm like,
you did give me shit about it the last time I was here. Hence why I threw one into the keyser for today.
Thank you.
Some point you got this real
good. This real good.
It's so good.
It's so good. Especially now, as you know, it's kind of cold and dark and. So
yeah, weird. I went on a big bender of like clean dark beer, if that makes sense. You know, like mm-hmm. I wasn't looking for, you know, my standard Revolution 18%, like just, you know, Czech dark lagers and just basic plain 6% stouts. Like, just, man, sometimes I just get in a groove and that's what I'm reaching for. It's good times.
Oh, absolutely. All right, we're at the end of the show. As I get the music in, Jeff, where are we at?
Yeah, come check us out on the interwebs, craftbeercast.com. Find links to old episodes, our Patreon if you want to support us that way. Otherwise, you can reach out to us via email. Email, you can send it to contact@craftbeercast.com. Wells, where can they find you?
They can find me on Instagram @allthewells, all one word. Josh, what about you?
Don't forget to rate and review us on your podcatcher of choice. Don't forget to tell a friend. Don't forget to tell somebody. Don't forget about our subreddit /r/craftbeercast. If you throw any news stories in there or anything like that, you'll get a couple of updates from us at least. And we'll shout out your Reddit name if you want that shouted out. If not, you could just say, hey, leave it anonymous and I won't say your Reddit name. Don't do anything with social media anymore. I can't even get into our X account. I actually tried for kicks and giggles, and it won't even take the passwords I have saved in my password manager for it.
Oh, no. Like, anyway.
Yeah. Well, then fuck you. So out there is floating our account that I can't even get into, and oh, no. Anyway, I guess we do have an Instagram account. I don't ever post on it, but it does exist. Let's see. I think I got everything. So, you know what? We'll talk to you all next Thursday. The hell, I'm trying to stop everything and nothing's stopping.
Skill issue.